Hey, you're now listening or watching the Halos in the Infield podcast with your host Todd Fox and Fernando the Lone Star Halo, brought to you in part by Noble L Works, just outside of Anaheim Stadium and the Pond, or the Honda Center, where you can get drink specials just by mentioning Halos in the Infield. Also brought to you in part by 714 Tickets is a place to go to get 10% off of any ticket purchase just by also mentioning HITI, Halos in the Infield. Now enjoy the show. Hey, welcome into another episode of Halos in the Infield. I am your host, Todd Fox, along with the other host of the show,
the Lone Star Halo, the lover of pain.
The lover in pain, indeed. He is the S&M fan of the Angels, as we all are. But as we get to another week closer to the MLB, because we're inside of 20 days till opening day in Baltimore, where the Angels and most teams will do their proverbial, let's open the season and then right away take a day off the next day. We're going to see that happening with the Angels there in Baltimore. So with that being said, we got a lot to talk about on the show. Fernando, what do you want to get to first?
For starters, did you see that Yamamoto is not the opening day starter for the Dodgers? You surprised about that?
Yeah, Oppenheimer lookalike is getting the start. You know, and that's, again, I believed if Buehler was healthy, he would be the opening day guy for them.
Okay, yeah, I was just asking for anyone who's like, oh, here they go talking about the Dodgers again. The Dodgers and the Padres both announced because they're opening up the season in Seoul, right?
Seoul, Korea, yeah, South Korea.
Yeah, so there you have it.
It's going to be Glasnow, Darvish, and it's going to be Yamamoto and Musgrove.
Yeah, honestly, pretty good pairings there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you get – I'm sure MLB would have loved to see Darvish versus Yamamoto. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how they really wanted to see like Darvish versus Otani. And who was the guy who was on the Mariners? Kikuchi a couple years ago?
Yes.
I remember, or the guy who was on the Yankees, Tanaka versus Otani. You know, of course, they want to see those matchups. It's no secret that there is a giant MLB fandom out of Japan. They love their players that come out of Japan, and rightfully so. Japan has produced some of the best major league players we've seen in our lifetime. You know, Ichiro Suzuki, Shohei Ohtani, I mean, Tanaka, Matsui, the list goes on and on. Great players that we've gotten to see come out of Japan.
And so, Korea is not that far behind. I mean, they're coming up with some really good players.
Honestly, I mean, not in the terms of numbers, because obviously, like, you know, the Latin American countries have, of course, produced the most major leaguers lately, at least really key guys. When you go through rosters, there's a couple of guys from Latin American countries, you know, Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, couple guys now from Mexico, Cuba. Anyway, you know, same thing. List goes on and on. There's a lot of Latin American countries that produce major league talent. But yeah, a lot of those Asian countries as well, when, you know, the World Baseball Classic's going, you know, South Korea and Japan really dominate and have had some great rivalries just between those countries alone.
Yeah, there's a hell of good talent around the world now. It's becoming a more global thing, which is great for the game. It's growing it. And I think that's where the streaming numbers will take off when eventually baseball does find that contract. But yeah, you said it best. I mean, the sexy matchups we've been kind of deprived of being able to see these, you know, a guy from Japan taking on a guy from Korea, or two Japanese all-stars playing head-to-head in the major leagues. I mean, those are things that, you know, we want to see as fans here in America too. So we're hoping that happens, but I have a feeling Otani will skip that Yankee start if it were to happen, or he'll skip that start, you know, because he's been prone to do that.
Yeah, I forgot what year it was that Tanaka was supposed to face Otani in a pitch rivalry, because I remember MLB.com had the t-shirts, and I remember seeing them, and the matchup never happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I remember then it was like on super clearance. It was like $6. And one time I was like, should I buy it? Even, you know, the matchup never happened. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about what we've seen so far in spring training. What's to come? I want to talk a little bit about the murals, you know, the six what do you call those stickers?
Banners or whatever.
Banners, stickers, whatever term you want to use in front of the big A on the covering the office windows and the team store on the second floor, as well as a couple MLB The Show ratings. The game is coming out, I believe, like next Tuesday. I pre-ordered the game, and I'm sure a lot of other people did. If you pre-ordered it, it comes out Friday for you. So we'll talk a little bit about those ratings. Obviously, those are subject to change. But as of right now, according to the MLB The Show website, we'll talk a little bit about the ratings on the Angels and say if the guy should have been higher or lower. What do you want to start with?
I say we start with the guys that have been hot and cold right now, I guess, for the team in spring right now. And I want to bring up real quick, there's two young guys who come from single A, basically Nelson Rada and Caden Dana. They've been showing out, and you know, they're obviously not going to make the major league roster, but
as they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Just because they're so young.
But they're showing out, and they could have potentially good minor league years to where, hey, built-in prospects for once. You know, we're starting to develop some of these guys, or guys that we didn't think were going to be all that much make it. And that's really good to see, at least, you know, when spring rolls around.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when spring training's going on, the last thing you should worry about is wins and losses.
Yeah.
Contrary to what a guy like Roger Lodge says. Mm-hmm. Oh, you'd rather win them than lose them. The amount of times I've heard him say that over the years on the Sports Lodge is nauseating. But the fact of the matter is, when these young guys, especially the guys who you aren't expecting a gosh darn thing from, you know, like you, Dana being a big one, what you want is you want to see some of these young guys produce, come up, hang with the big boys, and flirt with the idea of, you know what, maybe they might make the majors this year. And whether they do or don't, the fact of the matter is that they've come, they've rose to the occasion, they got the opportunity, and they made the best of it. You know, your guys like Neto, Moniak, Ohapi, etc., those type of guys, they're young and they're part of the core of this team, the Shanuels.
Mm-hmm.
But you expect those guys to produce. You know, Neto's had himself a fine spring early on as well. But I expect that out of Neto, right? You know, he came up and the guy only batted .225 last year. I don't think he was the same player when he came back from injury. I'm sure Zach would be the first in line to tell you that, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say that he wasn't fully healthy, but clearly something was wrong when he came back. There was a hitch in his game.
And Marcus Thames, let's just be honest.
That's fair. That's fair. And then, you know, a guy like Shanuel came out guns blazing, came out great. Not a lot of guys come straight to the major league level, because who are you kidding? He came straight to the major league level.
Pretty much.
He had almost no time to cook in the minor leagues. So those guys, you expect to come up and have a productive spring, but it is really nice to see these guys who aren't highly touted prospects come up and hang with the big boys.
Yeah, because it gives you optimism as a fan, because if you look just to the Chicago, the north side, the Chicago Cubs, Justin Steele was drafted in 2014. I saw something on him today. Struggled through the minors, but improved year on and year, you know, put in his time, made it to the majors, came up as a reliever. All of a sudden, you know, damn near 10 years later, he's the opening day starter. He's their ace. He's their guy. He pitched dominant last year. So it does take some progression, and it's fun to see when they're in your organization. So I agree with your points right there. I'm looking forward to seeing what young guys continue to have growth. And like you said, Shanuel, dude, he's, you know, our biggest thing, me and you were thinking, man, we just hope he doesn't have a sophomore slump. You know, hope he can pick up where he left off last year. And so far in the spring, I mean, the guy's been tearing the cover off the ball. He even shocked the announcers when he hit a home run, which is not his game. But again, he's proving that he could put the bat on the ball. He's having really good at-bats. And Fernando, man, what do you think about their at-bats in spring so far? Haven't they been more patient at the plate?
I really like what I've seen so far from the coaching staff. You know, and this is just spring training, okay? I'm going to keep throwing that caveat out there. So, you know, I'm not going to throw it out there again. You guys know what's out there. This is spring training. But so far, the pitching coach doing his job. The hitting coach doing his job. Manager doing their job. The trend here is that the people who you hire to do their job is doing exactly that. Ron Washington's put together a pretty good coaching staff. Another guy who I want to talk about, Eric Young Sr. He's had a couple of calls out there. Like, was it Zach Neto? He like waved in the third, and then Zach Neto was a dead duck between third and second.
Yes.
You know what? This is spring training. That kind of stuff happens. Okay. But I do like that he says, hey, you know what? Ron Washington wants to be aggressive on the base pass this year. We want to produce our own runs. You know what? I can deal with some aggressive base running sometimes leading to, you know, an out. For instance, you know, Eric Young Jr. is waving, or sorry, Eric Young Sr. is waving somebody in home and they get hosed at home plate. You know what? I'm okay with that once in a while. Why? Because you're forcing the defense to make the play. You're going to get beat sometimes, but that's the thing. If we try that and it works 8 out of 10 times, I can live with that. 9 out of 10 times. Because at the end of the day, these guys are young. There's a lot of speed on this team that they haven't taken advantage of. Joe Adell has been really been showing off his wheels this year. And I understand his batting average, what, he's batting like 240-ish right now at spring. That's not incredible, but I'm liking the power I'm seeing out of him. No, it's not over-the-wall power, but Joe Adell's always proven to have power. Use your power to go the opposite field. Hit it in the gap. Just like Shanuel, I want to see a little bit of pop out of ShamWow. I don't need him to go over the fence, but, you know, get a ball in the gap. Get doubles, because Shanuel can be a doubles machine.
And you bringing up, you know, Adell with a couple stolen bases, another guy who hadn't been ripping off any stolen bases the last 3 years, especially in spring training, is Mike Trout, and he's already got 3. So that's really good to see. Now, I want to ask you a real quick question before we move on to the next thing. When you brought up the coaching staff and brought up Ron Washington's staff, is it me or do they look like they know what they're doing compared to the last two preseasons when, especially last year, even in spring training, to me, Numbnuts Nevin and his staff look puzzled out there.
Well, in all fairness, Nevin was new to the managing craft. I mean, you know, he had managed before in like semi-pro baseball, I think in Fullerton. Mm-hmm. But that's a far cry from managing in the major leagues. So we can only say so much about Nevin. But yeah, Washington, Montgomery, Johnny Washington, those guys seem to be doing well so far. I'm going to reserve all judgment until the season starts, of course, because we're so early on into this thing. And I mean, a blind squirrel could catch a nut once in a while. So I'm really hoping that it can continue to translate into the regular season. Because one thing that I really want to talk about as we get closer, I want to do a whole episode where we really talk about and we really break it down. Maybe this is the preview show. What we talk about, is this team really going to be worse than last year? Because everyone keeps saying the Angels are going to be worse. The Angels are going to be worse. What is this team missing besides Shohei Ohtani? And I get it. That's a major piece to the puzzle. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. But at the end of the day, is Ohtani alone the difference in Anaheim? No. But these younger guys who are now going to hopefully progressively take a step forward could help get us there. This team is not a playoff team as we currently stand. Mm-hmm. You know what? Here's what's my very, very early prediction. And I'll talk more about this when we do the preview show. I'm an Arizona Coyotes fan. The Arizona Coyotes started this year off really hot. And all the Arizona Coyotes were talking about through about the middle of January, around my birthday, was, are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to make the playoffs? Because they were really flirting with it. At one point, they had an 87% chance of making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they've completely fallen off. That's what I think is going to happen here in Anaheim. I think the Angels' young pieces are going to really carry this roster. And I think it's going to be, you know, around May, June, where I think we start saying to ourselves, do we talk about the P word, Todd? The P word? And then I think baseball being baseball, you know, ball never lies. It's going to correct itself. And I do think this team's going to be around 500, but we'll get more.
Well, I mean, with Ohtani and Trout together and the whole team that they put together the last few years, I mean, they weren't scraping over 81 wins anyway. So, yeah. I mean, to me, like you said, it would take a team collectively of players that all buy in, the coaching staff, and then the general manager at the deadline to make a necessary move or two or a tweak or two to get you to the next level, or at least get you still flirting with the postseason. So I'm optimistic, but you know, you'll hear my rant as well when it comes down to the prediction show, and we'll get to that. But what I do want to get a prediction from you right now, though, two guys who have been shining so far in spring, and that is Miguel Sano and also Jacob Mariznick. Do they, in your opinion, make the squad?
I don't think Sano, maybe. Depends on a couple of injuries, right? I mean, Rendon's been back the last, what, day or two?
2 for 12 currently, by the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's getting paid. So it's not like he's not gonna, they're not gonna put him in there. If he's healthy, he's playing.
Yeah.
But Luis Rengifo started spring training injured. I know he's another guy who's back. He's starting to get in the swing of things. So if both of those guys are healthy on the opening day roster, that's when maybe it starts to get a little with Miguel Sano. But I like what I've seen out of him so far.
Me
you
too.
Know, and Miguel Sano is one of those guys, you know, he's a power hitter.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you expect him to be hitting 230, 240. I'm not saying that's what I want out of him, of course. I mean, do I want a guy who's going to bat 270, 280? Of course, but that's not his game. So if I want him to be serviceable defensively, I don't mean taking the world by storm. I mean, if the ball's out of your reach, don't even try. Just let it roll in the outfield. That's your job, you know. And well,
I just want to break in. The last couple of games I've seen him play, he's made tremendous plays, including robbing a double down the line, jumping up there. So if he's giving you that kind of defense, Fernando, I think you'll take it in a heartbeat.
Oh, no, of course. I'm just trying to be realistic on what we think we're going to get out of a guy who hasn't been in the major leagues in, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, 2 years.
So we'll see. We'll see. But I do like – I'm very impressed what I've seen. And Jake Mariznick, same thing. Obviously, he has that stain in my mind from what he did in Houston to our boy Juanathan Lucroy. But that's a Domingo Ayala reference for anyone who doesn't know. But, he's on the outside looking in. He has a minor league deal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, we don't have to worry too much about making some room for him. But, I mean, who are you going to bump out? Assuming there's no injuries, I don't think we have room for him.
That's hard to say because you got to think of Hunter Dozier, too. He's on a minor league.
Yeah, you know, Hunter Dozier's another guy. Hasn't been doing horrible, you know. Nothing incredible, but he hasn't been doing horrible. Mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought.
There's just a bunch of guys right now that have to show out and have the ball out. They're on these contracts. I would say Sano has to make the team at this point if he keeps playing, because obviously they're going to get the majority of the bats going into the final week of spring training, and then they're going to come down to, you know, do you get cut? Or do you, you know, get designated for assignment and accept that assignment down there in AAA? So
we'll have Jake Mariznick's batting 400 with 3 homers. I just looked. 6 RBIs and 5 stolen bases. Yeah. I mean, he's doing great, but once again, who's he gonna beat out? Joe Adele? I mean, that's what's tough. Cause I mean, you have Taylor Ward, he's in for sure.
Yeah,
you know, bearing injuries, he's in for sure. Trout, you know, obviously both of those two guys guaranteed spots.
Moniak. Okay,
Mickey Moniak, he's your third, most likely, and then probably Joe Adele. Joe Adele's out of options.
Yeah, that's true. You can't put him down.
So you got to figure out what you're doing here.
You might have to give up an infielder for Mariznick. You know what I mean? Like if he's balling out,
Do we need 5 outfielders?
Well, you might use – if Mariznick is using his speed, you use him as a pinch runner, or maybe you train him over at first like you're going to do with Sano. I mean, I think for what it comes down to me is, what does Ron Washington want? What does Ron Washington think?
Because Joe Adele has speed too. I mean, Mariznick is fast also. So it's kind of like, what do you do? The good news is you have the DH spot this year. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Could you imagine if this was the issue and we still had Otani, then it's really like, well, sorry, Mariznick, there's no home for you.
Yeah.
So I certainly don't want to see him get DFA'd. You know, if you trade him for something because there's no room for him, maybe. But there's a lot of factors here. there's a lot of people who keep throwing Blake Snell's name out there. You know, yeah. if he's a guy that comes, or Jordan Montgomery, if he's a guy that comes, then all of a sudden we're talking trades. You can't have that many lefties in the rotation. You trade Demers, you trade Sandoval, do you throw Adele in there, you know, to sweeten the pot a little bit and get more return to get a corner, another cornerstone piece? There's just a lot to think about. Like, one move truly makes a giant difference.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, I still am firmly believing, call it my inner Halo honk or not, but I'm really, you know, I'm showing you my honk right now.
Show me your honks.
I'm thinking right now, and I've been saying it since the start of spring training, one of these free agents or a name like Trevor Bauer is going to fall into the goddamn Angels' hands. Whether it's Snell, Bauer.
You've been saying it. You've Montgomery. Been saying it all spring. I mean, yeah. Hey, it's out there.
It's got to happen, dude. Like, and I'm feeling that one of those three dominoes is going to fall to the Angels, where we are going to enter the season not feeling as bad. You know, there's going to be that little distaste for the first couple weeks where we, you know, we're life without Ohtani. You know, it starts now, and the first few series are home and away are going to be a little bit stressful, going to be a little frustrating. But I think if we have that to hang our hat on, like, hey, we are able to get a late last second free agent to help bolster this rotation, I think we'll feel a little bit better. And especially if the hitters, like you said, are playing, you know, aggressively, they're getting hits. We got speed around the base pads. We're putting pressure on the opponent. And the bullpen seems to be our strength right now. If that comes through, again, I'm not saying we're going to blow through April and have a winning record, but we won't be getting skunked and playing crappy like your biggest fear was last year, my biggest fear. We just want to see competitive baseball. And I think we will if that stuff happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can see the way it is right now. Like I told you, I could easily see a 500 record.
Yeah.
And I honestly, that'd be a win. That would be a win. You're proving to the baseball world, you know what? We don't need Shohei Ohtani. Life after Ohtani exists. And like you said, if we do get one of these guys, Snell, Montgomery, to fall into our laps, then all of a sudden, once again, you're talking about a lot of lefties. You can make a move, get rid of Detmers or Sandoval. I don't know. Yep. I don't think it's going to be Sandoval because his photo is now in the front of the stadium. Could you imagine where they have to take that down immediately? Whoops. But my point is, at that point, you have a potential ace in a Snell or Montgomery. The reason why I keep tiptoeing around Bauer's name is, I don't think he's going to get a contract anywhere. And here's my only request, baseball world. If he doesn't get a contract this year, we leave it alone. He's blackballed. He's the MLB version of Colin Kaepernick. Whether you agree with that or not, you have to start coming to grips with the fact that if he doesn't get a contract this offseason, his baseball career is over in the major leagues because somebody would have given it to him already. The Dodgers waived him. Anybody could have picked him up for league minimum. Right now, he's saying, hey, give me a league minimum. And as of this recording, nobody's given him a chance. Something could change in the next couple weeks, maybe even in the middle of the season if someone gets hurt. But where we currently sit, I don't think anyone's going to give him a contract. And, hey, if I'm wrong, I'll eat crow. But it's not looking good for him.
I called it last year. I thought that Bauer would get a Miami Marlins, freaking Pittsburgh Pirates kind of contract, sort of like what Chapman got, so that they could flip him if he really balls out around the All-Star break, around the trade deadline. So far, I might eat crow on that because I was predicting he would sign in spring training. But I think if he doesn't get, you know, if he doesn't get signed this year, I'm with you on the blackballing thing. However, the only chance I think moving forward once the season starts that Bauer gets signed is if a team truly has an injury. Let's just say the Yankees were to have that, you know, catastrophe with Cole and he has elbow surgery. If they whiff on Snell, then they might be intrigued on getting Bauer. Hell, the Mets might do it. You know, you never know. So we'll see where that goes.
It's just so weird because it's so the whole thing, I mean, we're going to leave the politics out of the Colin Kaepernick thing out. at the end of the day, a lot of people didn't give him an opportunity because they were afraid of the media, quote unquote, circus that would come with it, right? Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing that happened with Tim Tebow, you know, the whole media circus thing. Same thing with Trevor Bauer. I think a lot of people are afraid of the media circus that's going to come with Trevor Bauer. Say what you want about Trevor Bauer as a person, him being innocent or whatever. We're not here to talk about that. What we are here to talk about is, as of right now, he does seem like he is being blackballed by Major League Baseball. I mean, it's almost a fact at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the baggage, I think, like you said, you could see it when they did it with Tebow. They didn't want a guy getting all the attention over the starter because they slated him as a backup. And then the same thing when Kaepernick's career was heading in the dumpster, they were like, oh, we can't sign a guy, you know, depending on how, even if he's that good, as a backup and overshadowing our starter. And I think Bauer, I think for baseball teams, they'd be like, well, this guy would be overshadowing our team. So, you know, like he may get, but then again, if the guy pitches good out the chute, he may get booed the first 2 months or so, but then it's going to slowly fade away. So I think that's where a team's going to come in and be like, okay, we could ride this one out, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's tough. Cause I mean, look at, with the Tim Tebow thing and Colin Kaepernick. I mean, look at those two guys, say what you want about them, but are they really, is there what 92 ish? You know, some teams carry two quarterbacks, but is there really 90 quarterbacks better than those two guys? I mean, I don't think so.
No.
You know, I mean, say what you want about it. Well, Colin Kaepernick, Tim Tebow, those guys aren't elite starters. Okay, sure. But yeah, I mean, you mean to tell me there's no teams that could have had him at second or third string guys? And then, I mean, it's the same thing with Major League Baseball. I mean,
dude, at worst, I mean, unless he were to somehow go back to the Dodgers, the worst he would be in the rotation is a three.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's what, roughly 150-ish starting pitchers in Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not Trevor Bauer's biggest fan. Okay. Well, I think a lot of people know that. So, but I mean, is there 150-ish starting pitchers? I mean, even more if we're including bullpen guys who are better than Trevor Bauer? No, I mean, of course not.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I never liked the cocky cornerbacks like Deion Sanders in football. I couldn't stand him. Richard Sherman was like that. And I never had one of those guys on my team. When he came to my team, I was his biggest fan.
Yeah. You know,
everyone hates him and he's an asshole in the league, but you know, he's my asshole.
That's how it was with Yanel Escobar. You know what I mean? The guys, like, people were like, this guy's a locker room cancer, but he's my locker room cancer.
Yeah, exactly. You stick up for him and then you see the fan base rally around him, at least the one he's on. So
yeah,
it would be like that right now. Like I know Trevor Bauer's a supreme talent. If he were to fall to the Angels, he's their ace. Let's just be real. He's their number one starter. Absolutely. And again, I don't agree with his off-the-field antics, sometimes not even on his on-the-field antics after he pitches, but damn it, he's my guy. You know, like, so yeah, I'll back absolutely. Him. So,
all right, so let's talk windows.
Oh, yes.
Front of the big A.
Windows to the wall. we're going to talk about the windows that they are putting wallpaper up over, and we don't have that Shohei Ohtani again, life after Ohtani. There was some that were put up today, a surprising one for you.
So we already talked off air about this, and I want to make this very clear that I'm not surprised because I don't think he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Zach Neto was the one I was surprised about. And once again, no offense to him. I love Zach Neto. I think he's a cornerstone of the organization. He's arguably now my favorite Angel. But I'm surprised they went with him because he's probably not a very recognizable face.
And he's not there yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you go up to 100 casual baseball fans, realistically, how many of them know Zach Neto?
It's just our fan base for right now.
7 to 10. You know what I mean? Like, non-Angels fans. Even Angels fans, like 30 out of 100?
I think hardcore fantasy baseball fans maybe, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that one was a bit surprising to me. You know, Trout, Rendon, those guys aren't surprising at all, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Trout's one of the most recognizable faces in baseball. And Rendon, say what you want, the guy gets paid a lot of money.
Yep.
So he's, of course, on there. I was telling Todd, I wonder if like that's part of his contract. Taylor Ward's up there. That's another guy I'm not too surprised about. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, if you would have told me, okay, pick the six, or, you know, you're going to die. You know what I mean? You tell me it's like a life or death. I have to guess the six. Those three would have been on there for sure. Sandoval's on there. I probably would have guessed Sandoval. Mm-hmm. I've already admitted I wouldn't have guessed Neto. I would have probably said Ohapi instead of Neto, just because it seems to me like the organization was trying to make Ohapi the new face of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, it's always going to be Mike Trout while he's here, but, you know, you kind of need that young guy too. So I kind of thought it was going to be Ohapi, especially with the Logan Ohapi bobblehead name. But the one I want to talk about is the sixth guy. So as of this recording, the sixth one was still empty. Some people are speculating perhaps it's a free agent coming up. I don't know. Maybe it could be Logan Ohapi. What are you thinking?
I'm torn. You know, I want to say that they just didn't make the Ohapi banner fast enough, or the Reed Detmers. But part of me, I'm hoping that it's, hey, we've got this guy. We're just finalizing the deal. We're printing the banner at uprint.com. By the way, go through them for your prints. They're pretty good.
That's sponsored.
But personal experience. But for real, I would love for it just to be a surprise free agent, you know, like one of those they put up there right before they do the red carpet stuff, you know, or before opening day in Baltimore. That'd be great. But we'll see. I mean, I'm going to go by there again tomorrow and see what we see. If it's still blank, that's going to lead me to think, man, they're up to something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the speculation was Blake Snell, right? I mean, the Angels are being used as collateral as per usual.
Again,
it happens all the time. I'm not going to believe it until the signing happens. I'm not going to be upset if we don't get Blake Snell. You know, before anybody thinks I'm copying them, I'm going to agree with the Super Halo Bros, and I'll give them a free plug because I'm not above giving free plugs to people. They've been saying, hey, let's get Jordan Montgomery because we won't lose a second round pick. Mm-hmm. I agree. That's actually a great take because they did not extend a qualifying offer for the Rangers. And Chris Young, general manager of the Rangers, for those of you who don't know, I applied to be his assistant, by the way. They did not hire me. He said that the Rangers aren't going to extend a contract offer. So, I mean, we'll see. A lot of Rangers fans, because I play adult league baseball out here, so a lot of my teammates are Rangers fans. One of them was going on and on about how Jordan Montgomery unfollowed the Texas Rangers but followed the Los Angeles Dodgers on social media. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Could you imagine?
No, they'd have a six-man rotation already without Ohtani.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Shohei who?
Yeah.
So I would love if we got Montgomery instead of Blake Snell. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I'll take either one, to be honest, but I would prefer to not lose a draft pick, especially because Perry seems to be doing really well with the draft picks. His free agent signings have been pretty ass cheeks during his time here in Anaheim. His trades have also been pretty ass cheeks in his time in Anaheim. Besides Logan Ohapi, no other trades jumping out to me at the moment. That was an excellent trade. So with all that being said, like the one thing he's doing really well, like cream of the crop, is scouting and drafting. So I don't want to take any draft picks out of his hand. So if we can get a guy like Jordan Montgomery, not lose a draft pick, and then be able to flip a guy like Detmer, Sandoval, Suarez, any of those lefties for a franchise, I don't know who. Maybe a third base prospect who's like a year away. May I suggest that? Hey, maybe it'll light a little fire up under Rendon, huh? Under the huevos, burn the hair on the balls a little bit. So he's like, it's warming up. I don't know if he's playing.
I don't know if he cares, because I saw a meme the other day. It showed Mike Trout saying, you know, I'm loyal, I'm dedicated, I want to play every day. Compared to Rendon saying, I have to play 3-4 times a week. What?
I saw that.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, for me, I would love for them, you know, I don't think anything's going to light a fire under Rendon. Nothing. Except God himself, maybe, because he's such a believer. I just don't see anything else. I think in this offseason coming up, I'm fast-forwarding ahead. I think Artie, and if our boy, the general manager, is still there, Manassian, I think they really need to look at the Denver Broncos and be like, look, yeah, just cut him. Just cut him and freaking take that hit, man. And I wouldn't be opposed to it at this point. I think fans or the Angels wanted him cut this year. So
what a disaster these guys have been.
How'd you like Russell Wilson?
Great. Let Russ cook. The only thing that guy is cooking is some burnt Kraft macaroni and cheese, brother.
Broncos. All right. Let's ride. Yeah, I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You know, I'm not a giant football guy. Okay. So last thing I want to talk about, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about this throughout the week. I'd be also really down to do a simulation. So the game comes out for me Friday night because I pre-ordered, like I said. So I kind of want to sim the Angels season according to MLB The Show, and let's talk about what happened. Maybe that could be next Monday's episode if you're down.
Okay, yeah, I'm
good.
We'll
talk about what the game did. We'll talk about the stats, and we can say, hey, if this is realistic or not. Okay, so in your opinion, name the top five Angels ratings-wise, and then we'll go through it. So number one's obvious, so we can skip Trout because, you know, he's number one rated on the team. Who do you think the next four guys are?
I'd have to say Detmers.
Number three?
Ohapi.
Number four?
Okay. Wild card Renifo.
Number five?
Oh. Number two. Who would be two? I don't think it's Taylor Ward, but maybe I'm going to go with our boy Sham Wow.
Okay. So are you ready for the actual top five?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike Trout.
Okay.
Brandon Drury.
Oh, I always forget Drury.
Brandon Drury is very forgettable. No offense to him. He's a good player. He's just very
He forgettable. Is a good player.
Matt Moore at number three.
Moore? Okay, yeah. I would have never got that.
Taylor Ward at number four.
Yikes.
Patrick Sandoval at number five. Okay, so we're going to go through the list here. We won't go through everyone, but I'm going to say the guy. You're going to tell me what you think their overall is. So Trout's a 99 still somehow. I think he 91. Should have been like a 92.
Yep,
I would have
seen
that. I think 99 is a little high. No offense.
Way high.
You know, after last year.
Yeah.
His durability's got to be like a 60.
Yeah.
All right. Brandon Drury, what do you think his overall is?
I would say he's an 84.
83. You're close.
Ah, got it.
Matt Moore at number three. What do you think he is?
82.
79.
Okay. All right.
Taylor Ward at four.
78.
79. Patrick Sandoval, number five. What do you give him?
74.
77.
Ah,
okay. Detmers at number six?
76.
77.
Oh, okay.
Anthony Rendon at number seven?
72.
76.
Ah, it's too high.
Yeah. Speaking of guy that's too high, this was going to surprise you. Number eight is Jimmy Herget, who was already optioned in real life, by the way.
Oh,
guess
wow.
What they gave him?
73?
76.
Wow, it's way too high.
Number nine, your boy Jose Suarez.
Oh, the comeback player of the year, 74.
76. They gave him the same as Anthony Rendon.
Oh, man. Well, they're durable the same, that's for sure.
Okay, all right. So last one I'll have you guess, Tyler Anderson. He's number 10. What do you think they gave him?
I got to say 73, no higher than that.
76.
76.
All right, so and then I'll go through some of these other key guys without the guessing just so we can start wrapping up here. Number 11, Adam Simber at 74. Griffin Canning at 12, 74. Luis Renifo at 13, 74. Zach Plesac, 72. Notice there's a guy that's still missing on this. Number 14, Zach Plesac, 72. 15, Andrew Wants, 68. That was 15. Number 16 is Carlos Estevez, 67. Number 17, Jose Quijada, 67. Silseth is number 18, and he's a 66. And the guy that a lot of people are like, what happened to him? Logan Ohapi is a 66. So the disrespect is real. I also don't see Zach Neto.
Yeah, I think that's terrible. I think they're going to have to update those rosters, or you're going to have to update your rosters once the season starts. There's no way Ohapi is that low. And to have Griffin Canning and Silseth below both Tyler Anderson and Suarez, that's a slap in the face, in my opinion.
Yeah, also Ben Joyce, another notable name that is unranked. It's under the following Angels players are currently not ranked. Ben Joyce and Zach Neto are both on that list, along with Kenny Rosenberg and Shanuel. Those four key pieces are not ranked.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So I'll update you guys when the game comes out.
So for Todd Fox and
the Lone Star Halo,
Catch you on the flip side.